Welcome, dear listeners, to this week's afternoon satsang. As always, Arvind and myself, Prem, are here to host this show. This is the couple of weeks which come after the Bhagavata Vahini satsang, where we take up a general topic. And today is a topic which probably is not as intense as some of the other topics which we deal with, but it's definitely a topic which is very, very close to our heart. Something which is very close to every devotee of Swami's heart. Anybody who has come to Prashantinilayam has basked in Swami's glory, especially in Prashantinilayam or Vrindavan or any places where Swami visits for a longer time, be it Sundaram, be it Dharmakshetra, be it Shivam, all of these places, even Kodaikanal. People will be able to relate to what we're going to talk about today, because this is something which is so intrinsic to Swami's avatarhood itself. But before we reveal to you what exactly it is, we begin by most humbly offering our pranams at Swami's lotus feet. And we're also glad to inform you that it's not just Arvind and myself here today. We have one of our very good friends and good contributors to Radio Sai, if I could say so. Not as much to the English radio as much as to the Telugu radio. But nevertheless, you will see that doesn't matter, because he's somebody who many, many dramas that you see in Prashantinilayam, even today, some of the dramas in Telugu which is staged, he has a silent hand behind it. And many of the dramas which were staged by students probably 10 years ago, and he was also one of the active members of that. So it's with great pleasure that we invite Brother Ranganath Raju to join all of us. Sairam Raju and Sairam Arvind, welcome to both of you.
Sairam, brother. So, yes, dear listeners, it's going to be a delightful theme for all of us here, and I'm sure for all of you also, because we thought of just traveling down memory lane, go into nostalgia and relive some of the beautiful moments that we have witnessed during Darshan. Darshan at Prashantinilayam, Darshan at Vrindavan, Darshan at Kodaikanal, wherever it may be. You know, whenever we go back to episodes or incidents related to Swami and think of it, one question that would come up in my mind was, is this not like living in the past? When Swami tells us we have to live in the present, going and revisiting stories from the past, doesn't it become that? That was when I heard an incident narrated by Dr. T. Ravi Kumar, who is currently serving as warden of the Vrindavan campus. It was so beautiful. He said that when he was a student pursuing his doctorate in the SKU University, mm-hmm. Shri Krishna Devaraya University at Anantapur, he used to visit Prashantinilayam every weekend so that he can have darshan. So one such weekend, he was called in for an interview by Swami. Alongside him was also some VIP, some big shot in the interview room. And Swami asked Ravi Kumar, sir, why did you come to Prashantinilayam? He said, Swami, I came for darshan. Swami then asked, why do you want to have darshan? He said, Swami, because darshan gives me bliss. Swami then asked him, does it give you bliss or does it give you happiness? He said, no, Swami, it gives me bliss. How do you know? What is the difference between happiness and bliss? See, when Hanuman is asked by Rama to cross the ocean and come back, it doesn't depend on Hanuman's capability. Because when the Lord gives a task, he gives the strength needed to fulfill the task. When the Lord asks the question, he also provides the answer. And so beautifully he provided the answer to Ravi Kumar sir. Spontaneously Ravi Kumar sir answered. He said, Swami, when I'm feeling hungry and you give me a gulab jamun, it satiates my hunger and I feel happy. 10 years from now, if I'm feeling hungry, and I don't have anything to eat, and at that time if I think of the gulab jamun that I ate 10 years back, Swami, it makes me miserable, because it makes me long and feel that I had that time, I don't have it now. But Swami, today you're speaking to me, you're giving me darshan, I'm getting joy. 10 years from now, if I'm not in your physical presence, if I sit and think back to this day when you're giving me darshan, even 10 years later, I will get the same darshan and same joy. That is the difference, Swami. That is why this is not happiness, but this is bliss, which is permanent. Such a beautiful answer that he gave Swami, such a beautiful answer I felt for my own question about, is this not living in the past when we go back and think of all incidents related to Swami? Definitely, when it comes to things of the world, it might be called as living in the past. But when it comes to things of the one who is beyond time, one who is Kalaya Namaha, Kala Kalaya Namaha, one who is beyond all boundaries of time, then it is not living in the past. It is something that is filled with all sweetness, a joy which gets reproduced every time we relive that. So it is with that kind of a feeling that we shall travel down this memory lane, nostalgia, and the theme has been aptly titled as the gift of darshan.
You know, talking about Swami's darshan, actually whatever you said applies to everything that Swami does, right? It could be darshan, it could be what happens in the interview room, it could be even a dream which you have many, many years later. Hmm. And that's why what you said is so very powerful. It applies to any idea that that makes us feel connected to Swami. But what makes darshan special is, what I can think of is, you know, when Swami would make this statement, he says, when I'm with children, I'm a child. When I'm with women, I'm a woman. When I'm amongst men, I'm a man. Darshan session is probably one time when Swami goes through all of these phases. Mm. Because when he enters, there is the women's section. Then he comes towards where boys are sitting, the youngsters. Then Swami goes towards where the senior staff are sitting. Then Swami comes around and Swami comes to where the primary school is sitting. And you can see Swami's way of carrying himself change from this to that as he comes. You know, when he comes to a student section, it's a different Swami. Sometimes Swami is upset with us. Sometimes Swami is very playful. When he goes to the, where there's a separate section where the sick people are seated, when Swami goes there, the interaction is completely different. Sometimes when you see Swami walking towards where people seated on the wheelchair is, I mean, it's a different feeling altogether when you see Swami there. Mm. But Swami comes around, when he comes to the primary school, Swami will ask how many idlis. And when they say Swami three, Swami will say this much. They don't give you big enough. Then they have a small spoon in your hostel kitchen or whatever it is. The mood completely changes. And the ability to experience all of this in one session was so special that when you look back now, a darshan session was only about 2 hours at any given time. No? 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening. And at best, you know, if you add even the bhajans used to be in the bhajan hall for most of the time. The darshan session was so short, maybe that 25 minutes when Swami would come around, again another 10, 15 minutes when Swami would come around. But it was so powerful and fascinating that so many people decided to live in Prashanthi Nilayam or live around Swami only for that 1 hour in the morning and 1 hour in the afternoon. The rest of the day was worth it for that 1 hour and 1 hour, you know, two sessions. The
rest of life, maybe.
Absolutely.
And when you talk of this darshan being Swami being a child amongst children and women among women, I kind of recall one very profound incident for me. We had come with Adilabad group of devotees, around 3,300 people. In that, there were two special devotees, if I can call two special because there is one sannyasi, he is a matadipati, who has left his, he is 42, 43, a young man, he has left his family life and he has taken up the sannyasa. Mm-hmm. He is leading the, is a pontiff for Gopalaswami Mata in Adilabad. And there is also one more devotee who is leading a group of musicians who would play this very raw version of a shanai. Mm. In Telangana it is called a sanai. So one is that, you know, at both ends of the spectrum of knowledge, if I can say, the matadipati who has read a lot of religious scriptures, etc., and the here is other person who is just illiterate,
raw. One is cultured, one is raw.
Right. And both of them, I had to sit with the district people to seek Swami's permission for one particular program. So Swami just come out, entered into Cyclone Hall, and at the other end, and either of them were sitting on my two sides, and the pontiff had his disciple, and the musician had his assistant, and both of them were giving a live commentary of what darshan is. Same act that Swami, when Swami picks up a letter, the matadipati saying, see that the index finger and the thumb joining is called particular mudra, and see how Narayana is doing it. Mm-hmm. And other side is this musician who is telling, see when you whistle, you know, you join this index finger and the ring and the thumb. Yeah. And you know, Swami is also just doing that kind of same action. The way he looks at women, the way he looks at children is interpreted in a totally different way by the pontiff and by this raw musician. that is when it was very revealing for me that it is same Swami, but he depends on how we see it, whether it is it is a Narayana for the pontiff or it is just the Nataraja and a child like Nataraja for the musician. So it said that Enta Matram Talachina Anta Matram Me Neevu.
That is one aspect, you know, where how a devotee looks at the same thing done by Swami in different ways. But I feel there's also another side in darshan where a same act by Swami can achieve different things to different people. You know, just some hours before, Dr. Gangadhar Shastri from the university was narrating. See, we often think that darshan is when Swami comes walking and he goes and yeah, we feel a thrill. And again, this is a monkey mind that plays. You know, many times I feel, for example, when one day I was waiting in the airport, I saw an Indian cricketer pass by me. And, you know, being a big fan of cricket, I really felt thrilled. So I was thinking, is this that kind of a thrill? You know, because when somebody big walks and comes and shakes your hand, if the prime minister of the country comes and shakes your hand, you feel a thrill. There is an aura there because of the post or position or because of how you look at that. Is it that manner? But, you know, as we experience it day by day, we realize that it's much more than that. And that is what also has happened in many cases. One such example is relating to the daughter of Justice Ishwar Prasad. He was a High Court judge in Andhra Pradesh as well as in Karnataka. And apparently, when his daughter was pregnant, she was also diagnosed with having a hole in the heart. And this is a very, very critical point of time. And it's not easy to make a decision as to whether you want to go ahead with the surgery or not. So that is the time he came to Swami. And, you know, this is one more great equalizer. When we have these kind of problems, you may be Raja ho ya Rank, you may be a king or a beggar. Everyone has only one succor, only one solace, that is Bhagwan. So the High Court Justice, he comes to Swami and says, Swami, I don't know what to do. Please tell me what to do. And Swami tells, no need of any surgery. Let her be here in Prashanthi Nilayam. You come back after 1 month and you can take her back. And that's what happens. The daughter of Justice Ishwar Prasad stays in Prashanthi Nilayam for 1 month, every day having darshan. At the end of the month, when the father comes to take his daughter, they find out that she's totally cured and healed. And Swami tells this Chief Justice that, see, I gave her Chupu Prasadam. Chupu in Telugu means sight, and Prasadam is a gift from Bhagwan. Swami, you know, he said, I just looked at her daily. That was enough. I made her heart whole. Her heart, which had a hole, now became whole. It became wholesome. That is what Bhagwan does. And, you know, it is actually mentioned in our scriptures. There is something called Marjara Kishora Nyaya, where it says that God takes care of a devotee like a cat. When we see a mother cat, how she picks up the kitten with the same teeth that can destroy the rat, the same teeth gently pick up the kitten and take care of the kitten. Then there's Markata Kishora Nyaya, where is another relationship where the devotee is like the baby monkey, and the Lord, like if you see, the baby monkey holds on to the mother and is always safe. But there's another thing called Kurma Kishora Nyaya. In that, like a tortoise, how it tends to its little ones is very amazing. It just looks at all the eggs that is there at a distance. A tortoise is a very slow-moving creature. But it just looks, and with its sight, it's able to guide the fledglings to the ocean or to the river where they can survive and flourish. So in that manner, you know, Swami, with just his look, is able to do all this. But it doesn't stop there, because Swami revealed to the Chief Justice possibly what we can call as Sai Kishora Nyaya, where Swami said, I don't even have to look. My sankalpa is enough. If I will it, it will be done. So yes, it is possible, but it is indeed a blessing to actually be there and also realize that as we are having his darshan, the Lord is also having our darshan, and that is life redeeming in fact.
And when you say this incident of Chief Justice and darshan having one act doing similar things, different things, I'm sorry. Another incident strikes me is that of a criminal, who had come to Prashanthi Nilayam, and he was enamored by Swami's love. He wanted to confess whatever he had done.
Are you referring to the incident narrated by Bhagya, sir?
Yes, that's okay. The one. Okay. So the incident starts as follows. Now Bhagesar, after darshan, he is coming out of cycle and all, and then there is a fight. He notices that, unusual to Prashant Nilayam culture, there is an argument that's happening behind Ganesha's temple.
Mm-hmm.
And since he's a professor, he's called to give the judgment as to who is right and who is wrong. The problem is this: there are two people, a monk, apparently a monk, and other side is one hefty built man, and both of them are arguing about an envelope. The problem statement is that envelope was given by this hefty person to Swami. Swami had taken that envelope. He looked at the envelope and he threw the envelope to this monk. Now, the hefty man claims that since it is the envelope given by him, that envelope mm-hmm. belongs to him. And the monk is saying, since the envelope is thrown at him by Swami, the envelope belongs to the monk. Now, they are not able to establish ownership of the envelope. That's where Bhagesar is called, and then Bhagesar thinks deeply for a minute and says, okay, the envelope is taken by Swami, so envelope should belong to whomever it is given, and the letter is written, there must be a letter in the envelope, so it is written by the hefty person, so the letter should belong to the person who is arguing about mm-hmm. the envelope. The both of them felt okay. They said, take away the letter from the envelope, give back the envelope to the monk, sim, because Swami had given the envelope, and take the letter, since you must have written some very personal thing. So this hefty man, with lot of hesitation, he requests a personal audience, where he says nobody should be around. So only three of them are there, the monk, this hefty person, and Bhagesar, and maybe one or two devotees who are trying to peep in and say, understand what's happening. Then this person pulls out, he opens the letter, then he's amazed, he's shocked. And then he pulls out a letter, he opens the envelope, pulls out the letter, and yet there is something in the envelope, it is heavy. He looks into the envelope, he is a bit shocked, he doesn't know what is happening, he just gives the envelope to that monk. And as he gives the envelope to the monk, this person opens up the letter that he has written, it's just a white blank sheet.
Oh, he has not written anything?
There is not a single word, not a single letter on the letter.
Then for what is this person fighting?
Yeah. What is this fighting for? Bhagesar is shocked. And as the monk receives the envelope, it is heavy. He looks into it and he pulls out, there is cash.
Oh.
Now he starts counting. As he counts, he starts crying. Now Bhagesar is confused. Both people who fought just a minute back are crying and saying, Swami. Now he is totally confused. He has supposed to be a jnani, come to give judgment. Now he is confused. He is saying, now you clarify. Why both of you are crying? That is where this is a hefty person reveals that he is actually a criminal. He has come to Prashant Nilayam to do whatever his intentions were. But when he looked at Swami, he is enamored by Swami's love, that he wanted to change himself. So he wrote a letter of confession. He heard prior day Swami talking in discourse, saying that if you offer all your sins to Lord, you'll be cleansed. So he wrote all his whatever wrongdoings in that letter, and as a confession, he offered that envelope to Swami. And other side was this monk, who had come 2 weeks ago to Prashant Nilayam with meager money. He has spent all his money in Prashant Nilayam. Now he needs money to go back to the place where he has come from.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have money. Now he is praying to Swami that it has been almost 2 days. Swami, help me with money. That's enough for me to. That should be enough for me to travel back. Now when this envelope was taken by Swami, it's as if very symbolically Swami has taken the envelope, and symbolically Swami has wiped away all his sins of this criminal. So that's how that letter, confession letter, becomes a blank sheet. And when he just takes the envelope and throws it to that monk, and in that the money materializes, which is exactly and sufficient for him to travel back to his place. So one act of envelope gives the monk what he wants. At the same time, it also washes away the sins of the criminal. It is the Lord's touch. And the darshan really, that makes all the difference.
No, that's the beauty of darshan. When from both the incidents which are narrated, it's just so profound, that hole getting cured by itself by Swami's presence. It only goes to say that there is no limit to what we can understand what happens during a darshan session. And it's from one extreme to the other. As simple as being fascinated by Swami's external beauty. As one of the students were telling, I think you might know one of our seniors, Mr. Naidu. He was telling, he comes from a very well-off family in Ooty. He studied in some of the Ivy League schools in Ooty.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely posh. Treated like a VIP there. And from there, to come and join our university. And he said when he joined, there was the summer classes, the summer course. That's probably the most wrong time to join for a person coming from his background. You're in a room with twice the number of boys would otherwise be, and you have to sit down and eat, and you have to do all of these things, wake up early in the morning. If you have to have bath, if you have any plans of that, you have to wake up 1 hour earlier than usual college timings and all this. And he says it takes only 2 days for him to feel that he's not made for this place, right? And he says that I'm really stressed out. He's never eaten with his own hands. He's never sat on the floor and dined. So everything is new to him, okay? And he's saying that I can't handle this. And he says that he calls up one of his friends who actually mocked at him for coming and joining in a university like this. And he comes from a Swami's devotee's family. So it's not like that part is taken care of. He has had Swami's darshan and he's praying to Swami and all that. But this arrangement was something which he was not able to handle at all. So he calls up his friend and he says, I think I'm going to run away from the hostel. I will not be able to manage this. And for some strange reason, this friend who mocked at him for coming and joining in Swami's college, he said, come on, man, you should be a little more stronger than that. Take it as a challenge. You know, you should not give up so easily. And this boy was a little surprised to get this advice from his friend, but he thought, all right, let's see, let's endure this for at least a week. And he was saying the next day was the day in which Swami would come and distribute the badges and the books, right? The first day of Samukos is when that happens. In Trai Vrindavan, we all would sit around in the garden and Swami would come. So he was also there and all the students were packed in the garden. And all of these thoughts were running in his mind, you know, I'm not going to be able to manage this and it's so difficult, it's so stressful and all that. And suddenly there's a whisper, Swami is coming out, right? So he was describing that setting, you know, it was in the evening time, this would happen after the evening darshan, evening bhajans and all that. So evening time, a gentle breeze blowing through and the beautiful setting of Trai Vrindavan and the garden. And they were sitting in front of that door. And he says the door opens and Swami comes and stands at that entrance. Nobody around Swami, just Swami comes and stands there. And he's saying that scene was so beautiful, so beautiful. He said, Swami, for this, I am ready to put up with anything. He says, how much of a difficulty has come for this, just seeing you stand there, so beautiful. I mean, the sight cannot be replaced with anything else. He says, I'll put up with everything else. Right? I mean, that is one extreme of just being fascinated by Swami's beauty and that mere appearance of Swami's darshan. And the other extreme is another story which we heard from one listener who just dropped in one day. You know, she, one elderly lady, she just came and she just wanted to thank us for all the programs and all that. And she said that, see, I'm not a devotee of Swami. In fact, I became a devotee only after 2011. But I've come for Swami's darshan before. But I didn't come as a devotee. And then she started explaining that she was actually a scientist. And she had a senior scientist who had become like a guru for all of them. You know, even though a scientist and all that, he was quite reclusive. And in fact, he used to discourse to them about Upanishads and all that. And they realized that he was an enlightened soul. And a lot of them would go to him for satsangs and all that. And this was in Bangalore. And she was also doing a research in Bangalore. And this person was a Swami's devotee. And he would force all of these people who would come to his satsang that, you know, go and have Swami's darshan. So one day this lady said, Swami, I'm not a devotee of Sai Baba. I don't feel, you know, drawn to go and sit there. Why do you ask us to go there? So this person said, no, whether you're devotee or not devotee, whether you relate to him or not relate to him, it doesn't matter. Go and sit there. And he said, see, all of what you're doing now in the form of this sadhana or trying to be in satsang is so that you can develop spiritually. And he said, but when you go and sit in Swami's presence, devotion, no devotion, doesn't matter. You have no idea how much you progress just by being in Swami's presence. So he said, forget everything, whether you're able to connect to Swami or nothing, doesn't matter. Just go be around him wherever he is. In Vrindavan, wherever he is, even in the middle of a road, if you see him, go just be in his presence because you have no idea how much you grow spiritually just by being there during that darshan time.
You know, it is often quoted and it's very popular, but there's a thing called the gift of darshan. I remember reading it first time in the Western canteen at Vrindavan, the gift of darshan, where Swami has said, you know, I will just read it out. Swami says, always find a quiet corner after my darshan. My energy goes from me as I pass you. If you proceed to talk immediately, the energy received by you is dissipated and returns to me unused. Rest assured that whatever my eyes see become vitalized and transmuted. You are being changed day by day. never underestimate what is being accomplished by the act of darshan. My walking amongst you is a gift yearned for by the gods of the highest heavens, and here you are receiving this grace. Be thankful, but also remember that to whom much is given, from him much will be demanded. So this is a, I think, best summary of the impact a darshan can have. And when you were telling about how, you know, he told wherever Swami is, you go. Personally, I remember, ironically, this dream, this dream had come sometime in 2008 or 2009. I remember in the dream, Swami had come and I was looking at different people whom I admire in the dream. Mm-hmm. You know, I admire different people for different reasons. One, some for being karma yogis, some for being such intellectual giants, some for being the kind of sacrifices they have made for Swami, you know, all of them. And it was as if Swami was telling that each of them has been allotted one way of doing sadhana. And to me, in the dream, he just told me, your sadhana is keep having darshan. That's all. You know, that was a direct instruction that Swami gave. And after that, that is why, you know, wherever Swami would be, I would try to be there. In fact, I remember Brother Sai Prakash, my senior in the studio and whom I regard so highly, respect so highly. He called me and he told that, see, he was narrating his own life experience where Swami gave him a job in Radio Sai. And after that, when Swami found him in the Darshan Hall, Swami told him, what is this? Don't you have any work? Swami asked him, and he took the message and he decided that during office hours, I will always be in the office only. And he told me that sometimes, you know, those days Swami would come out anytime in the middle, go for a drive. And he said, hey, whether it's office hours or not, every time you're running behind Swami, don't you think that it'll be problematic for you? Swami will scold you. But then I told him this and I said, see, it is different. For each person, it is different. So that's why even the thing of darshan, I feel the beauty of darshan is Swami tailor makes. Of course, you know, when we are now focusing on darshan because that is our theme. But anything about Swami is like that, it is tailor made for each individual. And the best thing is we need not worry. What is the path for me? What I should do? No, that will be tailor made and hand delivered and given to me. I just have to follow it. And in case I violate it, that also I'll be told, you know, this is not the way you have to do. You have to do that. I think this would be a good point to take a break. And in this break, you know, we will play out this very aspect. Yanta matramu yavara talichina anta matrame nivu. It actually says, oh Lord, how much ever whoever identifies with you, that much you are. If somebody thinks you are only this much, you are only that much. If somebody thinks you are the supreme Lord who is taking care of every life, who will guide each life, you become that much. So this was something, dear listeners, that we recorded for a Radio Sai program a couple of years back, and the same line has been sung in multiple tunes. It's very beautiful musically and it will reinforce the same message. So we'll just take this little break, we'll enjoy this, and on the other side of the break continue with our discussion and satsang on the beautiful little things that we have witnessed during darshan.
ఎవరు తలచిన అంతమాత్రమే నీవు ఎంత మాత్రమున ఎవరు తలచిన అంతమాత్రమే నీవు
అంత మాత్రమే నీ
Welcome back, dear listeners. Even as we are talking about darshans, you know, even as I'm playing that little instrumental in the background, I'm sure Arvind and Raju cannot hear it here, but the listeners who are tuned in can listen to it. I mean, even that is so nostalgic, because every time when we're seated there in that silence, which we are not capable of otherwise, I always used to think of that, a hall packed with thousands of people, but there has to be pin drop silence, especially just moments before Swami would come and followed by this beautiful instrumental bhajans which would come. I mean, that setting itself was something which I don't think we would ever be able to recreate other than in our own minds. Even though we have managed to capture it in media, it's only in meditation. In fact, Swami would say that you don't need any other meditation but just to sit and imagine that darshan session of Swami coming out, walking amongst devotees, blessing people, taking letters, speaking here and there, and then going back and sitting in on the throne for bhajans. Only if we could visualize this, there's nothing more we need to do other than this for meditation. But darshan was not just that. You know, as we were seeing, for most of us, it was just Swami coming and going, but 100 million things used to happen in that small course of time. And I think that's what we're going to talk here about in the next few incidents which we will relate. So Arvind, Raju, we'll start with you.
You talk of that darshan being a meditation session, one conversation that I've had with a very prominent industrialist comes to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a prominent industrialist, and he used to travel a lot across countries, across continents. So most of this travel would take a toll on his body and also on his mind, because different sets of people, different sets of culture, different types of food, and different types of negotiations. So these were taking a toll on his health as well as the mental and spiritual health. So one day he had come to Swami and he said, "Swami, I need an advice from you, guidance from you." Swami smiled and said, "What? What do you need?" He said, "Swami, I want to meditate and I want to calm my mind. Tell me, what should I be doing?" Swami smiled and said, You don't need to do anything." He told him in Tamil, "Close your eyes and imagine me coming for darshan. Relive the moments of darshan. That is enough for you." This was in 2007. From then on, this person, every day, he just does that. And he tells me that any day he misses that one particular the darshan imagination in his mind, or rather the meditation, his day would be very different. And there were days when he would be meditating upon that darshan, and some acts that were done by Swami at various points of time come striking to his mind. And in those little acts, he finds an answer to his business problem, to his family problem. Like, for instance, there was a moment where they were deliberating whether they should be entering into one particular new course of business or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then Swami had come. It was one particular darshan where he was having on Shivratri. Swami had come into the public and Swami was talking to one particular VIP who was sitting next to him. Swami is asking him, "Where do you come from?" He said, "Hey, the place." And Swami is telling him, "Do you build houses for middle income people?"
Mm-hmm.
And the VIP was lost. Swami said, "Do it." This came striking to him during that meditation stage, and he knew that the answer for his business problem was yes. Swami is asking him to do a particular project, and he took up the project. Needless to say, it's a success, and it's a roaring success rather in southern part of India. And now when you talk of that incident during darshan, one thing that comes striking to my mind is it was in my 11th class, 12th rather, end of 11th, and we were entering into 12th. So there were days when we would look forward to the beautiful interaction between Swami and Anil Kumar sir. Swami had come for darshan, and the spot where Anil Kumar sir was sitting was empty.
Mm-hmm.
Swami looked at the spot. Swami looked around and gave a, you know, through his eyes, he asked us to, "Where is Anil Kumar sir?"
Mm-hmm.
And none of us knew the answer. Swami went inside, kept the letters, came out. By then Anil Kumar sir came running. It's just a matter of 2-3 minutes. But he had come running and he sat in his place, he's panting. Swami looked at all of us and said, "See, I know where this Anil Kumar had gone." And we were wondering, what is Swami going to do? I was sitting right behind Anil Kumar sir. And Swami said, "See, this Brahmin, he's a Brahmin. He has gone to his home. And Swami showed the quantity of pulhara. So this much pulhara he had.
Tamarind rice.
And all of us are, you know, Anil Kumar sir, yes Swami, he is nodding his head vigorously. And for me, being just an 11th class kid, it is more of a revelation. I was thinking, wow, Swami is showing his divinity. Then Swami said, not only pulhara, he had two bobots also. It's a sweet, special sweet from Andhra. And he said he had probably some 100 grams of ghee on that. And all this he had, after that he had one full lota is called, it's like probably 300 ml tumbler of buttermilk. See, such a small stomach, but so much food he has taken. And Anil Kumar sir was vigorously nodding, yes Swami, oh Swami, mir cheptunnanta nijam, whatever you are saying is true. And we were wondering as to what is happening between these two. So Swami, the entire conversation ended and the smile was fading away from Swami's face, and Swami looked at him and said, "Cheppu." Very serious, Swami said that word and Swami walked away. Now, I remember very strikingly, because the way Swami transitioned from that jovial mood to that serious mood, and as Swami went away into the interview room, I asked sir as to what was that all real? I mean, did he have so much food in those 3 minutes? He said, then he looked at him and said, "What, do you think I'm a fool? You think when Swami is giving darshan, would I go home?" He said, "No, whatever Swami said is true. But thing is, I have not gone home. I have not had pulhara. I have not had bobato. I have not had buttermilk. On the contrary, I was sitting near the water cooler and I was discussing about Swami's darshan, the sweetness of Swami's darshan, with one more student who was having some problem." And for me, it was a personal lesson, saying, I remember that incident of Arjuna and Krishna, where Arjuna is pointed out to the sparrow and say, Krishna says, "That is a crow." He says, "Yes, that is an eagle. Yes, Krishna, it's an eagle. But no, that's a mockingbird. Yes, Krishna, it's a mockingbird." And finally, Krishna says, "What is this? That's a small sparrow." And Arjuna says, "Lord, you have the capability to change whatever you show it to, you say it to.
I have more faith in your word rather than my eyes."
Yes. And Anil Kumar says, "Swami does not speak truth. Whatever Swami speaks is truth. If Swami says it has happened, it has happened." I was speaking, as he was telling me, I was discussing about the sweetness of darshan with that particular student.
See, and when you say like that, it is based on the assumption that food means only food. Are we not having a spiritual feast over here? Are we not eating the sweetness of obattus? I remember in one discourse, you know, in Vrindavan, Swami in the middle of his discourse, I remember this vividly, because he told a Kannada couplet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not remembering the exact couplet, but it is like, to the payasa, a sweet dish, it's made with milk. To the payasa of Rama's name, add the ghee of Krishna's name and the sugar of Vitala's name. Mix them and enjoy to your stomach's content. You know, this is what the Ramanama Payasakke, Krishna Nama Tuppavannu, Vitala Nama Sakkare Beresi, Bai Chapparasi, something like that, you know. Swami narrated this. And I felt very happy that Swami, because Kannada is my mother tongue, you are telling this. But when you are narrating about Anil Kumar, sir, and when we say that, see, whatever Swami says is true, it's only our limitation. Just like that poem said, Yanta Matramu Yavar Talichana. If we think that, no, Swami, Anil Kumar, sir, was sitting here only where he ate ghee and all that. But he was literally partaking a feast that made him forget about Swami. And that is as good as Darshan. You know, that is another thing that struck me when you told me about that industrialist, when you narrated about that industrialist who mentally has that Darshan. People may say it is imagination. But when Swami has himself given that technique, it is a very, very reinforcing episode, because when we discuss Darshan, one of the most common doubts that come up is, okay, all that is fine, but what now? Now I can't have Darshan. No, you can have Darshan in the mind's eye. And the beautiful thing is, it is as powerful. Because that industrialist, even to this day, is getting his solutions, getting his peace of mind, getting all of that. And that's why I feel it is so beautiful. I feel we should never forget to go for Darshan. We used to always go for Darshan twice a day. I feel if we can continue to do that all our lives, that's all sadhana we will need to do. But then we will have to give that importance, that priority, and go for the darshan. Literally go for darshan. In that sense, I feel we can define darshan as making ourselves available to Swami. That's all. Because that is what would happen during a darshan. When I go for darshan, I don't think about food, water, problems, nothing. Swami, I am here for you. You come at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, I'm sitting here for you. I'm available to you. And I feel that is something we can continue to do even to this day. Make ourselves available to Swami.
You know, talking about Anil Kumar sir's experience, we should not forget that where that comes from. You know, it is not that Swami is coming and saying something and he's nodding his head. He knows what Swami is really capable of. You know, especially Darshans and Anil Kumar sir, I think the reason why we used to sit there and wait for that interaction is that's the beauty of Anil Kumar sir. He would not mind putting his head in the where it's going to be crushed, because he knew that there will be something profound which comes from that, something which is a learning for all of us. But there'll always be that mirth also. And one incident which he would many times narrate in his characteristic jovial style is when he was a principal in the Vrindavan campus, and he had come to Parthi during official visit. That's a different thing. That's a different topic altogether. When Vrindavan teachers come to Parthi for any official work, and Swami comes and says, hey, you have come, for what have you come? Your answer should always be, Swami, I've come for Darshan.
Should not tell I've come for
official. If you say, Swami, I've come for this work and that work, Swami will ask, then why are you sitting here? So you have to say, Swami, I've come for Darshan, but I have also, you know, in the meanwhile, I can even accomplish this task. So he had come for some work and he was sitting for Darshan. And, you know, he was saying that he is used to staying in Vrindavan. And Vrindavan, you have hot water because it's a very cold climate. So he said, I can't have bath without hot water. And that morning, before he was getting ready, there was no power in the room. So he said he could not get hot water, he could not have bath. So he said, I did whatever was necessary. I had enough sprays in my room, you know, got dressed well, put all the sprays necessary, and then he came. And he was sitting there in his appointed place. And Swami comes, does not look at him, does not talk to him. And then Swami tells the people around him, he said, some people, they come for darshan without having bath. He said, for Swami's darshan, they're coming and they come without having bath. And then Swami said, what to do anyway, went away. And he knew that it was meant for him. So immediately he got up as soon as Swami went for the interview. He said, I rushed to the room. By then the power was back. He said, 2 buckets of hot water. He said, proper bath.
Scrubbed myself.
And he said, the fresh pair of suit. I wore all of that, little more spray. And fresh, I'm coming and sitting there. And then Swami comes. And Swami looks at him and Anil Kumar, he tells him, Anil Kumar, normal bath is enough. This extra bath and all is not good. Normal bath is enough. And he said, Swami, what to do? It's so cold and I can't have bath without hot water. Then Swami said, Chi, yes, Puttaparthi is a hot place. You can have cold water bath once in a while. You know, see, that is what is the Swami, which he knows what Swami is capable of. He, you know, it is not something that Swami shoots in the air, and sometimes it is right and sometimes, you know, it is wrong. You know that Swami knows everything, and in spite of knowing everything, if Swami says something like that which does not concur with what your reasoning says, then there must be something more to that. And I think that is why that explanation that Swami's darshan is also something which is like a feast. And that explanation comes with Swami revealing his divinity every now and then during that darshan time too.
And I feel that in those moments when Swami is apparently joking, if one is able to keep this in the background always, that, you know, let me remember who Swami is, let me remember who Swami is, I think that makes Swami very happy. I'm reminded, you know, we spoke about Bhagya sir, we spoke about Anil Kumar sir. Another lecturer is Kishore sir, you know, who is even now around in Prashanthi Nilayam, though he's not teaching, he's often considered as an avaliya. He's like a walking fakir, and he keeps telling things randomly which seem strange, but they come from a place in the heart that has great love for Swami. And when he was a student, in fact, you know, possibly I'll just narrate, he's a legendary student in the sense that he is possibly the only student who did MBA program, who has till date, who has done the MBA program in Swami's institute after getting married. After married, Swami permitted him. And when you listen to his experiences, they are all phenomenal, and one can get a measure of why Swami was ready to forego all, you know, kinds of
protocol
for the sake of this student. One such incident happened during a darshan, you know, he used to teach in the MBA department, and on that day, you know, he happened to teach about how he was teaching his subject, of course, but he happened to also narrate how the Taittiriya Upanishad had come about. I don't remember the sage's name, possibly it's Yajnavalka. Basically what happens is he vomits out saying that this is what it is, and it is said the two Tithri birds come and...
The story is Yajnavalkya displeases his guru. Hmm. And the guru is so upset with him, he says, you know, throw out all the knowledge that I've given you. So Yajnavalkya, the story goes that he vomits out all the knowledge that he has earned from the guru. And the moment he does that, the devatas know the value of the knowledge that he is vomiting out, which is like the essence of the Vedas, because he has taken in the Vedas and he is vomiting out what has been digested. So the devatas convert themselves into Tithri birds, that's what they say, and they come and consume this vomit which this person has thrown out, because it's actually wisdom.
And they sing out the Taittiriya Upanishad.
That has become the Taittiriya Upanishad.
Yeah, as you say, Vedas is, the essence of the Veda is the Upanishad, so that's what it is. So he had narrated this, you know, with the context of saying, we should be able to recognize Swami's glory. And this is the theory he's telling it in the class. There was a chance for practicals, because he... That same day during darshan, you know, Swami was walking and he was seated there. Suddenly, as it happens even to this day, one of the pigeons, it left a dropping. And the dropping came and landed just somewhere next to Swami's darshan path. Everybody noticed, including Swami. But then Swami, you know, he just turned his eyes towards Kishore sir. And he told him, that is jnana. You know, and what followed next is unimaginable for anybody, because the instant Swami said that is jnana, Kishore sir got up from his place, rushed to that spot, picked up that pigeon's droppings and immediately swallowed it. Everyone around was horrified. They were like, what is this? He's eating droppings. And then Swami said, adi true faith ra, that is true faith, Swami said, and walked. But you know, that I feel such acts are possible only when you have that complete conviction of who Swami is. Yes, Swami may make a joke, but if Swami says that is wisdom, what you think is the most degraded thing on earth, if Swami says that is wisdom, that will become wisdom. That I feel this is a modern day example of an Arjuna telling, yes, if you say it's a crow, it's a crow. If you say that is wisdom, that is wisdom. That is the kind he did. And what I feel is during darshan, you know, we would witness even episodes like this. It is not just Swami related, but we also get to see examples who are worthy of emulation and inspiration for each one of us.
When you talk of the bird droppings, another instance strikes me. So there was once Swami is coming out for darshan, and there was a twig that fell in the path of darshan, and a boy is sitting on the either side. They were hesitant, you know, they were kind of deliberating who should pick up the twig.
Because Swami has already come.
And Swami would not expect boys to move around during darshan when Swami is out. So boys are deliberate. So the one who is saying you pick up, other person is saying no, why don't you do that? It's kind of risky thing for them. But yet it is lying in the path. So Swami is approaching, and almost whoever is sitting on the 8 to 9 boys are deliberate as to who should be picking up that twig. And Swami is almost 5 to 6 feet away from that twig. And by then one student decides that he will go and pick up, come what may, he will go and pick up that twig. Just then when he's about to get up, from nowhere comes a sparrow and holds that twig and flies away. And Swami comes to this boy and Swami looks at him and says, if I want my work to be done, it can be done even by sparrows. When the opportunity is given, utilize it. Now, darshan is just not darshan, but it's more of a school, probably a kind of a classroom where different lessons of different intensity were taught to different levels of student at the same time. For some, it is great spiritual knowledge. For some, it is just being disciplined. I remember once when we had Swami had called for prasadam distribution. One of my seniors who was in a very good form, to whom Swami used to talk, had got up and pulled up his shirt on the backside. Then I knew the look on Swami's face. Swami, from a jovial face, Swami became very serious, called him and admonished him, saying he should know how to behave himself. And Swami said, do you see as to how I conduct myself during darshan, the way Swami walks, the way Swami holds kerchief, the way Swami takes letters. That is one side, just being physical discipline on one side to extreme spiritual knowledge as to what we have just heard from Brother Arvind about Kishore sir's faith being displayed. The darshan is more of a classroom session conducted to different levels of students with different intensity.
Well, absolutely. And some of the stories which we hear, especially about darshan, this is something which is probably classified as hearsay, because I don't know, I have not spoken to this person directly. This was told to me by a devotee who met this person who was in darshan line, right? So he appeared like a sadhu with a long beard and probably dressed in a knocker and all that, and there was a certain amount of stiffness in the way he was sitting there. Not like a devotee would sit with expectance and, with that devotion and humility. He was sitting there as though he was come there on a mission, right? And Swami came as usually. Swami came and stood in front of him. And Swami went away. After the darshan was over, this person was like a bag of fluid. He'd become all emotional and he was literally crying. He'd broken down and all that stiffness had gone away. So the people around him asked, what happened? Why are you so emotional? You were not like that when you came and sat here. And then this person revealed, what he had come, what plan he had in his mind when he came and what happened there. Mm-hmm. And this person said that he's probably from the Himalayas or something. And he learned a mantra. Chanting that mantra, if you touch somebody, either the feet or the hand, you can draw all the powers that person has.
Oh.
So this is apparently used in among siddhas and all that. When you gain a lot of spiritual powers, you can actually gain it from that person by chanting this mantra and taking it off from that person. I think there's a similar reference. Even Wali is supposed to have given that kind of a power.
Boon.
Half the powers of the person who stands in front of him can be drawn by him. So probably there is something like that in even the modern times. So this person had mastered this mantra. So he was wondering whose power can we draw? And in his research, I think Swami must have featured very prominently as somebody who does all kinds of miracles. So he decided he'll come and touch Swami and do the act of sparshan and gain. So when he came and observed, he found that Swami allows everybody to touch his feet. So he said, that is good enough. I can draw all the powers that Swami has by touching his feet. So somehow one day he managed to come right in front. He's sitting by the ale, and that is probably the best opportunity that he had. And he said Swami came, and it didn't look like Swami was avoiding him. So he thought that, Swami is not aware of my nefarious ideas. But to the contrary, Swami comes and stands right in front of him. And Swami stands for a few seconds and speaks to the person behind him, giving him all the opportunity to touch Swami's feet and probably chant that mantra and gain as much as he wants. But after Swami leaves and this man explains, he said, Swami was standing in front of me and I stretched out to take Swami's padnamaskar or touch Swami's feet. You will not believe what I say. Swami's feet was not there.
Swami's feet were not there.
He said, Swami is standing in front of me and I am searching for Swami's feet under his robe and I am not able to feel Swami's feet. And he said, then I realized, you know, what a mistake it is, what I've tried to do and who Swami really is. And so, you know, some of these incidents probably would have been happening right around us with
you would not even be aware.
No
not be aware.
Clue to us.
You know, when Meerabai sang, Payo ji maine naam ratan dhan payo, she said, kharch na khute jo chor na loote. This is a wealth which you can never spend. The more you spend, the more you earn it. And this is a wealth that no thief can ever steal. So it was a revelation when you said that even among these Siddhas, they have people who are thinking of robbing. Here we have people thinking that fellow has 1 million rupees, let me rob him. There they are thinking this fellow has that many Siddhas, let me rob. But Sai, our dear Swami, is a wealth that nobody can ever rob, you know. And looking at, you know, looking back at my own experiences during darshan, there's one aspect which I feel personally I enjoyed quite a lot, which is this of giving a handkerchief whenever Swami materialized Vibhuti. If you remember, that was an opportunity that we would get. When Swami materialized Vibhuti, his hand apparently, you know, in quotes, like gets soiled with that Vibhuti ash. So you go and offer him a kerchief to wipe his hand. This was an industry in itself, offering kerchief to Swami.
No, I remember once Swami telling me, Swami had given me Vibhuti and next to me was Arvind, and next boy. And Swami is telling, while pouring the Vibhuti into my hand, he's telling me, see, the flow will come, vadostadu, one kerchief cheerela kottundi kattuko. He's saying, his kerchief will be as big as a sari, you can wrap around
you. Because, you know, it was a thrill that I felt, because that was one of the first interactions I had with Swami where, it might be indirect, but yes, Swami told Raju, I've written it in my diary, that you tell him that to fold it neatly like a sari and keep it safe with him. That is what Swami had. Badranga cheeralaga madta petkoni jeblo petko, something like that. So it was an industry because there were multiple people waiting. We would select different spots in the darshan hall where, you know, you think that you'll be the first to reach Swami when he materializes Vibhuti. Because if 2-3 people go, it's an act of indiscipline and you'll get it from the warden. Or worse, if Swami himself scolds. So it was an unstated understanding that within the first 3 steps, whoever is in the lead closest to Swami, he is the one who will go, others will retreat back. So you want to have a good start. And you know, it would go to such extent, Prem, that when we enter the darshan hall, I'm not exaggerating, literally I'll stand and scan the devotees' faces. See, like, who looks like devoted enough to get Vibhuti from Swami and hopefully sit bang opposite to them, because when Swami greets, you can go fast. All this would go on and we will do our own research, study and pick the devotee and pick our spot to sit so that we can offer this. So it was a very intense and competitive world out there. And, you know, dozens of times by Bhagwan's grace, I got this opportunity to give a handkerchief to him. What I noticed later on, I would write everything down in the diaries. What I noticed later on is, every 9, you know, multiple of 9, the 9th time I could offer a handkerchief to him, the 18th time, the 27th time, each of them have been memorable with something sweet. Okay. For instance, the 9th time was one of the first incidents personally for me where, you know, I had written a full kind of love letter where it was like, I love you, Swami, I love you, Swami, I love you, Swami. And I felt that, Swami, you must take this from me. Swami came close to me and took it. And the moment he took it, actually, I was not even sitting in the front line. I was somewhere in the middle of the block. So Swami made a path, came through the block, picked up my letter. And I felt like I'm a great devotee, like Dhruva or Prahallada for my sake, Swami came. And even as I was thinking later, I was taking Pad Namaskar, he had dropped that paper. And I felt devastated. But Swami went ahead and created Vibhuti for a devotee. I rushed to him with a handkerchief. Later on, I know that it's the 9th handkerchief. But when he took that handkerchief, I'm looking for him to throw it back to me. He's not throwing it back. Because while I was looking at his hand, he was looking at me. He patted me on my back, pointed to my letter in my pocket and said, give it to me. You know, it was such a sweet thing. I pulled out that and beautiful. The way Swami pointed to my pocket, later on, I'm thinking that it could also have meant that Swami is pointing to my heart. I really felt that Swami accepted my love that day. That was the 9th. Then on one, I don't know, remember which, but on another of the 9 multiple series, when I went to give handkerchief, Swami, the devotee to whom Swami was materializing, he just jumped out of the 4th line or something and sat off in front of Swami on the floor. And then he exposed his left foot. He pulled his pant fully up till his thigh And then one could see that the leg had been damaged and it was very shrunken and it was in a bad shape. And he was looking at Swami like that. And Swami also in an instance, instead of handing over the vibhuti, just paused for a moment and didn't give it, pushed his hand away. And from the top itself, he began to sprinkle the vibhuti. And I was shocked because every time I had seen Swami some dozen times creating vibhuti, it would be possibly one pinch or two pinches. But the vibhuti, one pinch of vibhuti in Swami's hand was enough for him to entirely spread on that person's leg from ankle till knee. Completely. Swami was just moving his hand left, right, and vibhuti was pouring out. I don't even remember if I managed to give handkerchief to Swami, but I just returned back to my place dumbstruck at having seen this. And possibly one more quickly I'll recount and narrate is also beautiful because I felt that through this episode, Swami showed me what we know as the generosity paradox. The generosity paradox says, the more you give, the more you receive. That's why it's paradoxical. How can I receive more if I'm giving more? But that's what it is about generosity. What happened was, on that day, when Swami created vibhuti for a devotee, I managed to be the first to reach Swami. I gave him the handkerchief. Swami wiped his hand. And as Swami was walking, it is a practice that whomever Swami gives vibhuti, usually he would give to 4-5 people. We would have pieces of paper in our pocket. We would give it to those devotees. So that in case they wish to, you know, because nothing is allowed inside the darshan hall. So they can pack that vibhuti in that paper and take it home. So as I was giving paper, one of them, a Westerner, he called, tapped my hand and said, give me that kerchief. I was like, no way, man. Come on. Means you got vibhuti, I got the kerchief. That's mine. You. So I said, no. I just gave him the paper and returned back to my place. And I was seeing this person was sitting there and darshan got over. He was sitting in meditation, lost in the bliss. And suddenly the thought in my mind came, Arvind, why don't you give him that kerchief? You have got, no, 7-8 you have got. Though we got multiple chances, we would take the same handkerchief again. So there were some 5-6 kerchiefs. So in my mind, it came as to, you have got 5-6 handkerchiefs, give him one. But the other side is telling, no, he got vibhuti, no. Did he give me the vibhuti? No. So why I should give him the kerchief? How do you know possibly he has got vibhuti for the first time? You got multiple chances. No, he wants a kerchief, just give him. So it went on like that for some time. Finally, I decided, I got up, went as if I'm drinking water. Then I came into the devotee's side from behind. He was still sitting there, lost in meditation. I patted him on his back. He turned and looked towards me. I just dropped the handkerchief in his hand, said Sai Ram and rushed off because I didn't want any further conversation or anything. I rushed off, but I was eager to see his reaction. Then I could see as he came out of the meditation, he was clutching that handkerchief close to his heart and he was weeping in joy. He was telling, thank you. I could see him, I could read his lips. He was telling, thank you. He was thanking Swami. And seeing that, I felt very, very happy. That was it. Just 1 or 2 days later, I remember. Now when I look back, again it was one of the 9th series handkerchiefs. Okay. So on that day, again I got an opportunity to give handkerchief to Swami. Swami wiped his hand. And as I was waiting for him to throw so that I can catch the handkerchief, Swami turned the other way and dropped the handkerchief that side. So I just thought it's okay. Once Swami walks away, it'll be fallen on the ground. I'll pick up the handkerchief and go. Swami took 2-3 steps and walked away. And there was no handkerchief. I was feeling a little bad because just yesterday or day before I've given him one handkerchief and now it looks like somebody has stolen it off. You know, Swami dropped the handkerchief, somebody picked up. I'm trying to look at who is the culprit among the devotees. And all of them are obviously looking at Swami. I'm going on looking at them only. Seeing who must have taken, whose hand handkerchief is, whose shirt pocket handkerchief is. I'm going on searching there. Suddenly all of them, 3-4 of them turn and look towards me. And I thought, what happened? And they look towards me because 10 steps ahead, Swami had stopped and turned and was looking towards me. So I also looked at Swami. And can you believe it? In the most sweet gesture, Swami raises his robe a little bit with his fingers and shakes his leg. Out drops the handkerchief. In some manner, Swami had carried the handkerchief along with his feet all the distance. And I rushed and took the handkerchief. And you know, that fragrance that Swami would have, my whole handkerchief was smelling so heavenly. It was the first ever handkerchief that I felt had been blessed in such an intense manner. You know, like it has got vibhuti on it. Swami has touched it with his feet and carried it for some 10 feet. And it is smelling so fragrant. So after the darshan, I was lost in bliss. And you know what? I held that handkerchief in both my hands, close to my heart. And I was telling, thank you, Swami. Thank you, Swami. Thank you, Swami. I was saying, later on it suddenly struck me that, you know what? What you did yesterday, same thing repeated to you.
Beautiful.
You did a little act, simply, spontaneously, and a person held a handkerchief too close to his heart and said, thank you Swami, lost in bliss. And having done that, immediately, you are getting to do the same thing. You are holding the same hand, a similar handkerchief close to your heart, and telling thank you. I felt that Swami carrying that handkerchief along with his feet was like a reward for that. In one angle, but in another angle, I felt it was the 36th handkerchief, and so Swami had to do something unique. So in this way, during darshan, personally related to handkerchief, many many sweet memories are there like this.
The reciprocation of what you do, the action, and that being rewarded with either if it's an act of good kindness and of compassion, then similar thing comes back to you, as you're saying. But I have another light incident to share on similar note. Now, we were sitting once for darshan and waiting for Swami to come. Swami had just emerged from the Purnachandra gate and is walking into the Cyclone Hall. Just then, right in front of me near 5th block, I had noticed a wasp in the path, darshan
on the carpet.
On the carpet, red carpet. The wasp was a big, huge one. I was a bit scared. I was thinking, too many thoughts were running in my head. But the prominent thought is, why should a wasp, so insignificant in its being, should it be on the path that Swami is about to walk? And with that ego of being a human, of being probably up in the value chain of creation, I just brushed aside the wasp. Think that it is too insignificant to be in the path of Swami's darshan. And Swami is walking straight. By then, so I was lost in Swami's form. And Swami comes straight. Right in front of me, there is one L&T engineer who is sitting. Swami is standing in front of me, but he's talking to that L&T engineer. I was looking up to Swami. Swami is so
L&T
close.
L&T is a company?
Yeah.
Engineer L&T, from that company.
Mm. Okay. So there is some construction that was going on. And L&T has been commissioned to undertake the construction. And the particular engineer was in charge of one particular site. So he was seeking some clarification from Swami. And while this was going on, I was so closely looking into Swami. To my horror, I started feeling that there was something crawling into my trouser. That's when I realized that the wasp that I had brushed away was actually going into my trousers. And since I was sitting folded legs, it crawled up to my knees. And there was one
God.
One senior sitting behind me was telling me, saying that, you know, I saw the wasp. I noticed the wasp entering into your trouser, but you know, I could not do anything. So brother, just hold on and pray. I kind of thanked him for his advice, but rather I wanted to slap him because he could have told me a little earlier. So I was looking at Swami, and then the wasp had almost neared my knee. He told me, being my senior, out of concern, he said, raise your hand and say Sai Ram, and you know, hit the wasp so hard that it should die in one shot. And he said, be careful brother, but don't miss it. But in that tension of Swami being, you know, probably 2-3 inches away from me, I hit the wasp, but unfortunately it did not die. That made the wasp violent, and it started stinging me. The problem with the wasp is, honeybee, once it stings, it dies. But wasp can sting you multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very painful. Every time it stings me, I was, you know, jumping up and down. It happened four times, five times, and four times Swami took a note of it. And Swami turned around and said, "Em dance chestunava in darshan? Are you dancing in darshan? Em chestunava?" He took a... Then, you know, I was with all my... Whatever strength I had, I was trying to control, but it was unbearable. Then the Lord took compassion and took a few steps and looked behind and said, help Chesinda. Now, when I think back of this incident, there are 2-3 things that come into my mind. What is insignificant for the Lord? The one who has created the human, for him it is, the human is no different from that wasp. Probably it would have come for yearning for Swami's darshan. Probably, you know, I have denied it with my ego of that opportunity to have the Lord's darshan. And maybe I was rewarded back that pain that the wasp had undergone. I remember one of my classmates in Trai, Vijay, Swami was walking from Trai inside to the jula room, and he tried to brush away an ant which was in Swami's path. And Swami stops and says, why are you brushing away the ant? It has come for my darshan. So similarly, probably this wasp was probably finding first.
When you're talking about ant and these insects, I remember one of the teachers narrating this incident. I think when they were sitting in the interview room, we know when Swami sits on a chair, when Swami sits on the throne.
Yeah.
I mean, even when Swami is sitting, even though it might appear like he's relaxing, that robe will be crisp and every crease will be perfect.
Yes.
Right? There will not be the dressed with Swami is wearing will not look disheveled at any time. There'll be so much grace even in that act of simply sitting on the throne. So in that fold of that robe, he was seeing that an ant was crawling, right? An ant was crawling up that robe. And probably that's the part of your clothes where if something, some movement is happening, you will not be aware of it, right? And Swami was sitting with his eyes closed and in what we call the Bhava Mudra, right? Swami was a little lost within himself. And this ant was crawling up that fold of Swami's robe. So this student thought that, you know, let's just tap it away and Swami will not notice it, because that will hardly make any impact even on Swami's physical body. So very, very gently, he just flicked that ant away. And when he did that, Swami opened his eyes. There's no way Swami would have felt it. There's no way physically Swami would have felt it. But when he did that, Swami opened his eyes. Swami said, why did you knock it off? Do you know how much it has, how much penance it has done to have this chance? And you've taken it away from you. You know, so anything that happens in darshan, however trivial it may appear, I mean, we have absolutely no clue of what is happening there, isn't it?
You know, when you said about trivial, I was reminded of an episode, Brother Raju narrated about that envelope in the beginning, you know, of how that hefty man and that sadhu. Another such envelope story, it was narrated by Sudhir Bhaskar, sir.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he had the opportunity of walking behind Swami and collecting the letters for a few years. So in one of those days, when he had joined, he says, Swami had asked him as to, is he working proportionate to the salary that he's drawing over here? And he felt that he had come from the outside industry where he was drawing a huge salary, and what he was earning after having joined the Satsai Institute of High Learning was definitely much less compared to that. And the work he was doing was the same as he was doing there. So he felt he felt in his heart, though he didn't answer anything to Swami, he felt that definitely I'm working as hard as my salary that I'm getting. But then a few days later, this episode during darshan where Swami picked up a letter from one of the devotees, and when Swami's hand would get full, he would turn around and give it to the people who were following and they would keep it in the cover. When Swami gave that, the devotee just there who had given one envelope called Sudhir Bhaskar sir and told him that be careful with that envelope. It has got a 20 lakh check. Means in the sense that all letters are there, but this is a little exceptional letter. The moment this interaction happened, Swami turned around, asked for that letter, took it and threw it back to this devotee who had given it. And Swami continued on. Now that devotee apparently was very desperate to give this over, hand it over to Swami as his offering of love. But there was no way now he could give that, because he tried pleading with the two people who were walking behind Swami to accept that envelope, and they both said no way, because Swami has thrown it back. And Swami walked ahead. And when Swami walked ahead, he picked up one brown envelope and he gave this envelope to Sudhir Bhaskar sir and told him, you keep it in your pocket. He kept it in his pocket. Afterwards, Swami called him into the interview room and said, where's that envelope that I gave you? So he took it out from his pocket and Swami said, open it. And when he opened it, inside it, there was a counterfoil, a chalan from the State Bank of India for some 10 or 15 rupees. I don't remember now. But Swami said, see, that person, you know, who has given that, every month, one meal he foregoes, and the amount of money he spends on that meal, no, he makes and donates it to me. And then Swami said, it is from this kind of money that I pay your salaries. Now, this incident is so amazing and so wonderful, because when we think that I'm working proportionate, I'm working more than what I'm drawing, I mean, is the work that I'm doing worthwhile for a person to forego his food and give me the money? I mean, this is something that we have to think, because Swami always emphasizes on the quality of money and not quantity of money. That is the reason why you can't make cash donations to the Central Trust even to this day. It has to be white money, no black money over here. Because Swami always says, I don't care about the quantity of money, it's the quality of money. Quality of money, and I don't want tainted money. There is this concept called tainted money, and Swami doesn't want tainted money. Let us not think that, you know, you can offer tainted money and win blessings from God. He's not a God who can be bribed, because the only bribe that we can give God is the sweet love in our heart. That's all He seeks, that's all He wants.
Beautiful. I remember one instance where Swami was traveling to Kashmir, and Ramakrishna Reddy sir was sitting next to him. Swami had taken some of the boys to with him to Kashmir, and Swami was telling them the story of Krishna as to what the darshan, the magic of darshan. And Swami tells Ramakrishna Reddy sir especially, saying that, no, when Krishna would come out to take the cows in for grazing, Gopi and Gopikas would look at him, and they would be lost in his beauty, that they would turn around and hug trees, assuming it to be Krishna, and keep chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That is the magic that the darshan, you know, would throw on people, on their hearts. And deep inside Reddy sir, a thought passed Reddy sir's mind. Is it ever possible? I mean, is it that Swami apparently exaggerating the magic of darshan?
Poetically, he is.
Swami is taking poetic license to describe Krishna's darshan. And this thought passes, and the vehicle in which they were sitting is passing through one thickly crowded area. It's in the outskirts of Srinagar. People are, you know, running towards the bus in which Swami is sitting, vehicle in which Swami is sitting. Swami had apparently moved from the car to the bus to sit along with the students. And they were looking at Swami and folding their hands, and they were crying out, saying, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. And Swami was sitting just next to the window, and next to Swami was Ramakrishna Reddy sir. And Reddy sir suddenly notices that there were three old women. They look at Swami and chant Sai Ram, they shout. And bus is slowly moving. In next few seconds, these three old women go to three different trees, and they hold on to the trees, and they're feeling the tree to be Swami, and they're hugging it, they're saying Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram. Immediately Swami turns back at Reddy sir and says, Idi nen cheppindi abaddham, what I told you, you have not believed. See this. See there, the magic of darshan. And then he says, what I want from devotees, as other brother Arvind was mentioning, what I want from devotees is not their economic status, but that purity of love, that purity of intention, that pure love, if they can give me, that is enough for me.
A little bit south of Kashmir, Himachal Pradesh, 2010, when Swami had gone to Shimla, so we were all part of the convoy that was following Swami's car. It was an unbelievably beautiful sight to see. You know, there were like about 80-90 cars in the convoy. Everybody around who had a car seemed to be trying to follow Swami's convoy. But as soon as, you know, two observations. One was, in the beginning, when the convoy had not yet grown, wherever Swami's car would pass by, Swami was in the Porte car. So when Swami's car passes by, people rush and take the dust from the road where Swami's car, and they're applying it like bhasma onto their forehead. Some of them are eating it like vibhuti. It was very touching to see that. But more touching was, because from the Shimla airport is at a distance. It took almost 40 minutes to travel from Shimla airport to the residence what they had built for Swami, the mandir that had been built for Swami. After some time, as I said, so many cars joined the convoy, and there were security vehicles in the behind and in the front everywhere. It really became difficult for people to make out which is Swami's car, which is devotee's car, because similar kinds of cars are there. And as like the olden days, Swami was not in some Mercedes or very different looking car. The Porte looks like Hyundai i10, looks like Santro, looks like many of the known cars. Yes. But you know, that didn't stop the people. People just knew that Swami's car has gone this way, so it doesn't matter which car. I have seen many people coming and taking the dust from even our car and applying it on their forehead, because it doesn't matter, one of these cars, Swami is there. That is the kind of craving and people. It was a very, very, very humbling experience.
As you mentioned of the convoy experience, I remember one instance strikes me when Swami had taken us for Chennai Atrida Yajnam. The convoy was going, and at one particular point it had to stop for probably for 30 seconds. And as the convoy stopped, somewhere 200 meters, 300 meters away from the convoy is the Chennai bridge, the rail bridge, on which there is a train passing by. And next to Swami's car, right behind Swami's car, was our vehicle. And we were looking at, next to Swami's car was a person on his two-wheeler. He came and stood next to the car, and he did not know that Swami is in the car. No, he's just looking there, looking towards, at a distance. But on the other side, 300-400 meters, there's a 200-300 meters, there's a train going on the bridge. And from that train, people are hanging out, and they were doing namaskar to the car. who is actually near? I mean, is the person on the two-wheeler being next to Swami's car, is he near? Or is that fellow who is hanging...
Whose focus is on Swami.
On Swami, and yet so far. What, I mean, that near and dear is what probably we should contemplate upon when you talk of darshan.
Whenever you... We talk about darshan, of course, as we said in the beginning, invariably, you know, you can't help but miss those moments, help but think that, you know, now we don't have those moments. But, you know, if you look at it, Swami would often say this, you know, when God comes down as an avatar, even the simple-minded people, we know that we have to behave differently in Swami's presence, right? When in Swami's presence, when in the darshan hall, when in front of Swami, we behave differently. And that's where the difference comes. The really good will be able to behave the same way in Swami's presence and in Swami's physical absence. But even for the people who are low in that ladder of understanding or maturity, they know that in Swami's presence, you have to behave differently. And that's what happens when an avatar comes. That the idea that Swami is here makes you behave differently. And that's what it is. If today we are able to convince our mind that Swami is here, if we are able to believe in that truth that Swami is here, we will behave differently. And that is the learning that an avatar comes to give. That the experience that when you know Swami is here is different, and you come to a point where you're able to convince yourself Swami is here and I have to behave differently. I have to behave the way Swami would want me to. I think that is the journey that we all have to make. We know what it is to behave ourselves when Swami is around, and now we have to behave ourselves every moment believing that Swami is here. It's just that my physical eyes can't see him, but definitely he is here.
With that, dear listeners, the time, the clock in our studio shows 2:01. We have actually gone a minute beyond our stipulated time. We definitely hope that you enjoyed this as much as we enjoyed it. And we are grateful to Swami for this beautiful opportunity. We are grateful to Swami for having sent Brother Ranganath Raju here to add with his sweet experiences and things that he has seen and enjoyed sharing with all of us. Swami, may our entire life be one continuous darshan where we keep thinking of you and nothing else, Swami, because nothing else in life is worth thinking about. With that, dear listeners, we come to the end. On the other side of this song that you'll hear will be Brother Chandu with his segment Love to Love. Thank you. Jai Sai Ram.
Too much.